to it. I had a wonderful time, but just some good stuff. But today we're going to talk about how do you light the fire? So we've got this altar going, right? And there's wood on it, and we've sacrificed on us and stuff, but how do you light the fire? So that's what we're going to talk about. If you want to take notes, you can make a title out of that, how do you light the fire, all right? So here's my question, okay? Here's my question. What is the sacrifice you put on the altar? What is the sacrifice you put on the altar? And, you know, coming from a believer's standpoint, we could say, well, I'm going to put prayer as my sacrifice on the altar. Or this is where we're going today. I'm going to put worship. That is going to be my sacrifice on the altar. And today, during our worship time, I thought, I'm going home. They did it, okay? All right, but I'm not going home, and it was just a good time to come in the presence, okay, and have this worship. So we're going to continue talking about worship. Thank you, worship team. Where are you all over here? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think, yeah, thank you. It was so good. I was like, yeah. All righty. Now, I look out here, and I see a bunch of people. You are a big bunch of worshipers. I look out here, and I know so many of you do the worship thing. I mean, you're just... Woo, okay, not just here. I also know your personal life. But how many of you, like, you know, I can bring it up a little bit. I can bring it up a little bit. So, you know, maybe, just maybe, Pastor D's just going to hit this from another angle. And my prayer is that you'd all go to a little bit up higher in this thing here. Now, why worship? What about worship? Life stinks some days. Life is hard some days. Life just dishes out not a bowl full of cherries. Like, life has problems to it. Anybody have a bowl of those going around? Okay? It's almost like life has this resistance sometimes, okay? And there's some nice days and stuff, but there's this, life is tough. So here's the thing. Sometimes when we're going through these difficult times, these problems, this stuff, there's this worship that could be a tool in your tool belt, okay, a tool to help you through those difficult times. And that is one reason why worship is really important. And I want to tell you, it's been a learning thing for me. I am not, I would say in the beginning, I was not my go-to worship, okay? But now I get that tool. I get that tool, worship, and what it does through my life. So, we started this church, changing gears, next year, 40 years ago. I think we should have a party. Yeah. Good, you're on the committee. Go for it. Okay, I was waiting for anybody to say yes. Okay, I think we should do something. But 40 years ago, Jack and I started this church. And really, I was just a tag along because we were having babies and stuff like that. But I'm like, hey, okay. And listen, we had, who's my 40-year-olds here that have been here? I know the Cashmans and stuff. Pam, 40, Joe, 40 years, okay. We had some great, wonderful things happen in those 40 years. We've had people come and meet the Lord Jesus and lives transformed and touching our families and stuff like that. And then we had a few bumps in the roads, okay? But I remember at 2008, anybody, you youngins don't even born at 2008, but how many of you remember 2008? 2008, you weren't born yet? Liar, liar. It wasn't good. Yeah, the housing market crashed. It was really tough. And we were kind of doing some of that stuff, okay? It was just finances for a lot of people were really, it was a really hard time, all right? And why am I telling you this? Because I remember that because probably for the first time in our books, we were going red. Now, y'all know, what's my favorite color? I love red, but I love asking kids what's your favorite color, and they all go, they know mine. But red in your checkbook, not my place, right? Not good. So this is 2008, and I wasn't in charge of this, but I was a part of all of this in there. But every month we'd go, okay, give me the report at the end of the month, and it was going red. And what happened to me is... I was struggling with this problem. By the way, that's a problem. When everything goes red in your checkbook, that's a problem, all right? And I was having a hard time. It almost made my stomach feel sick, like I couldn't breathe. And to be really honest, because I'm not a liar, is I was fighting panic. at the end of every month, because I'd go, okay, what's the report? Oh, gosh, there it is. All right. So I wasn't doing good, and we're going red. And then we did use wisdom, okay? We started trimming the fat. Anybody know what that means at your household when you're going to trim the fat? You are not going to Disneyland, right? Okay, you're not going to a movie. Of course, I have people just watch them at home and stuff like that. But we were using wisdom. We were trimming the fat. But still, every month, this is woo, 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 red, red, red. So I knew one thing I could do, you know, and it's cast all your care on the Lord and pray. Okay, everybody, you can do that. You should be doing that. But it wasn't doing it. It just wasn't, what do we say, cutting the mustard? Just wasn't doing it in my life. But I knew something else I could do. Worship. I could worship. All right. So every day I would just put some worship music on, and I would just find, I'd cut a time where I'd just find time where I'd put worship music on and I'd sing. And when I would do this, and it was, this was by myself. This was on Sunday morning. I'd just do this, and you would not put me on your team. I know that up there. But by myself, it's okay. All right. So I'd put worship music and I'd sing, and this incredible thing happened. It was like this blanket would come over me of peace. The peace of God would just come over me as I would worship, okay? And I'm not mic'd up and I'm not in there, I'm just myself, okay? So I would worship. I go for walks around my neighborhood and I'd worship. And what's back then? I'd have a Walkman? That's how long that was. I put my headset on, I'd go walking and I'd worship and I'd be singing and nobody could hear me. And heavens knows what they were looking out their window as I walked the neighborhood. I didn't care, but I would worship. And when I'd come home, oh, in the office we had worship music on 24/7. Okay, because this is what was going on here. When I'd go home at night, I'd put worship music on. I just would worship the Lord, okay? And I have to tell you, it was probably the only thing that helped me survive that season, okay? What happened is what I didn't realize, but I know now, and we're going to talk about, but I didn't realize at the time when I would just sing and worship the Lord, He would come upon me, and then He would do peace and joy. Almost got to the joy, but peace. I was going for peace. I was like, God, I just need peace. The joy part or whatever. But this peace would come upon me. And it was just a beautiful thing. And then it released God to fight the battle for me. We even have a song like that, don't we? I want to fight the battle. Okay. But I watched God go and do things for me. And that's what worship can do. That's what worship can do in our life, all right? And we see this in the story of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah, and all these armies are coming against him, and he is outnumbered. They're way more than, you know, they're all lined up, and there's tons of the enemy coming towards him. And he goes to God, and God says this crazy thing. I mean, crazy. Get ready for crazy. God says, hey, I want you to get your worship team out in the front, and they are to go and start worshiping God. They go out first. Now, think about the faith it took to do that. Worship team, think about the faith. I bet you some of them were dropping like flies. You know, I don't know. But just think about the faith to do that. So here they are, the worship team's going out first. Here's the army. Braveheart, that movie. You know that movie? Okay, some parts not so good. But you know when they have all the English over here, and then they've got Braveheart's here. Well, Braveheart's gang, in this scenario, was small, and there's all these guys, and they're like, okay, worship team, start worshiping and praising the Lord. You guys go out first. I could just see everybody behind, first, go, pushing everybody out, okay? And God did incredible things, okay? How does the story go? God does incredible things. God did incredible things so much so that before he had an ambush before Judah and all the people there got there. God ambushed the people and they were the enemy, and they were dropped dead right away before they got there. So they finally get up there and they're like, oh my gosh, look, God took care of this. They're all dead. What happened? They didn't even get their swords out. All right? So what's that have to do with me? When I worship God in that season, God began to do things I didn't even see. from the strangest places. Now listen, again though, we were walking in wisdom. We had cut back as far as we could, salaries and things we were doing, okay? But they were still there. But God began to do things, and finances came in from places that had never come before. Like some random person in California wrote us this big check, and it got the red out for that month. Okay, just God was doing things that only God to do. And I was like, woo, okay. So this is what I learned from that point on. Whenever I've got a problem, okay, I'm going to bring it, take my stones, I'm going to bring it before the Lord. I'm going to pile them up before the Lord. And in spite of the red and what's going on in my house and what's going on in over here, I'm going to pile them up and I'm going to come before the Lord and I'm just going to worship Him. I'm going to worship Him. Guys, there's something so powerful about worship. And okay, and we're going to find out about it more, okay? So, by the way, you don't have to do that only when you have a problem. Hey, I'm showing up today. I've got all my problems, you know? Okay, we can do it. But God, you bring Him your problems. You go in and worship Him, not because I'm worshiping because I have a problem. I'm worshiping because you're God. And God can do what only God can do. It's just incredible, okay? So I always have a main idea, or 90% of the time. So if you're taking notes, write this down. But this is what I want you to understand so clear, so impacting that it just changes how you do life. And this is what it is. Ready? Our passionate worship brings God's presence. Our passionate worship brings God's presence. All right, our passionate worship. All righty. Now, it's one thing to sing a song. Okay, but it is another thing. I love these. I'm just singing to the Lord. Okay, but it is another thing to sing with your heart, to passionately sing to worship, okay? Just, it is a whole different thing. And what happens is our passionate worship brings the presence of God, brings the presence of God. Now, Pastor D, what do you mean by God's presence? Well, you know, it's not always a feeling when I'm worshiping the Lord. Sometimes it is. Some of you are hitting the Kleenex box up here, just worshiping the Lord. But when I talk about the presence of God, it'll be God's peace, God's joy. Could be God's strength, all right? And when that happens, I'm telling you what, it also releases God to do things in your life that you don't even know about, and it's just glorious. So it's a wonderful thing. Now, write this down if you're taking notes. But you were created by God. You were created for intimacy with God. You were created to have intimacy with God. You were created to have intimacy with God. So what do I mean? Let me say this. As I have found, as I have gotten so young, every problem that a Christian has, a believer has, is connected to no intimacy with God. I'm pointing the finger at me, okay? In other words, anytime we have a sin problem in our life, you name the sin, any flavor you like, but anytime you have a sin problem in life, it's because we've not connected to intimacy with God. Okay, I wouldn't dare do what I did if I was standing there just worshiping Him and in His presence, having intimacy with Him. Are you kidding me? You wouldn't either. So our problems, just tossing it out, and this is like a real stab in the heart from the Lord for me, so just take it too, is when we get into sin problems, we've disconnected with this intimacy, and we're going to talk about worship, okay? Now, when I say you actually crave this, all right? And you talk to intellects, which I am not, okay? But you talk to these really smarties, they're like, what on earth are you talking about? What do you mean, Pastor D, intimacy and coming into the Lord? Well, listen, intimacy is through worship. Intimacy with the Lord is through worship, okay? And ooh, I love it, okay? And it's a beautiful thing. But You crave it whether you know it or not. I crave it whether I know it or not, okay? And when we have this intimate time of worship, okay, it gives you strength. It releases God to do what only God can do, and he does these beautiful, amazing things. So you crave, and I know some of you are like, intimacy. Okay, you just crave that close time, that really close time with the Lord. You do. Your spirit man's going, I want this. All righty? So I'm going to give you a scripture. Open up to Psalms chapter 22. I know you laugh at me. Psalms 22, verse 3. Yet you are holy, God Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one. You are holy, all right? You are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Some of you are like, Pastor D, we're not Israel. This doesn't apply to us. Pastor D, you just took this whole thing out of context. Reel it in, baby, let me tell you, all right? The day you accepted Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, God says, I have grafted you in to Israel. Jot down 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay? All right. Oh, no, save that for, that's a different one. Hang on, okay. Anyway, I'll dig it up, okay. So, when you accepted Jesus, God says, I've grafted you into Israel. Now, Israel still has a nation, and God's still going to deal with them, but the day I accepted Jesus, I got super glued in to Israel. So, we could say that God inhabits the praises of the church, God inhabits the praises of his people, and we would be 100% accurate, okay? Now, that word enthroned, it is not my everyday, stick it in my vocabulary. Like, you probably have never had me come up and say something about that. So, but listen to what this word enthroned means in the Hebrew. Ready? It means to come upon, to dwell on, to come upon. So God is going to come upon, dwell in, praise. And boy, raise your hand if that was this morning. Whoa, that was this morning. God's presence was coming upon, all right? Now, and I like that other part, praise. He inhabits, he's enthroned in our praises, all righty? Now, that word praise, okay, I'm just going to impress you for 2 seconds. The word praise in the Hebrew there is tequila. So I remembered it because it sounds like tequila. Okay, that's how I remembered it. Okay, I'm just, you know, you can forget about it, but I was like, that's how I remember it. Spelled totally different, okay? But if you break that word apart, tequila, the root word is hallel, and it all, majority of the time, means just to say worship, just to say it. So we would say to declare it, okay? But this word here, tequila, right, means to sing it. So you can remember that, right? So like, what'd you learn today? Oh, I learned a Hebrew word. All right, but that word means, that praise word means to sing it. And all it says is just be passionate worship. Whether you are standing there saying it or singing it, it's all about passionate worship. Everybody say passionate. All right. Passionate worship isn't this. Right? It might look a little different, okay? So today, I'm telling you, today, woo, that was passionate worship. At least where I was, right? That was passionate worship, okay? So I want to make sure you see that. Sometimes we just read that, oh, praise the Lord. But I'm not talking about passionate praise the Lord, righty? Now, they're going to pop a picture up of the Ark of the Covenant, okay? This is Old Testament. This is at that end of your Bible, okay? And there's so many stories about the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible, and there's so many things. But I'm just going to just talk about one angle of it. So you see those poles over there? See those poles? They're really important. We're going to find out how important. And then the top part, you know, where the angel is, the lid, that's called the mercy seat, okay? And that's a type of God's throne, okay? That's all. It's just kind of represents that, all right? So whenever the ark, you see the ark, it's a type of God's presence, and he's being in the midst of us. So that is like, wow. That is like, wow. God's presence, and he's in the midst of us. That's what that Ark of the Covenant represents, okay? Now, the poles are what the priests would stick on their shoulders. That's how they had to carry it, okay? That's how they had to carry it. You're allowed to pick up the poles and carry it, okay? So what's God saying to us? Like, I always go, God, you know, that's really cute, but what does that mean for us today? And this is what the Lord says. You all have a priestly ministry. You all have a priestly ministry, and you do that, okay? And you know, priestly ministry, not like the Old Testament priests, and not like the Episcopal priests or the Catholic priests, and that's okay, whatever they do, okay? But we have a different kind of priestly ministry, okay? And what we're to do is we offer up spiritual worship to the Lord. That's our ministry, to offer up spiritual worship. Say, I'm a priest. Yeah, you didn't sound too enthusiastic today. I'm a priest, and I offer up worship to my Lord. And we did that today. It was good, right? Alrighty. So what God is showing here, and really to show to us, is His presence comes down when we walk in our priestly ministry, which means we worship Him. His presence. Who doesn't like the presence of the Lord? No hands up, because that was who does not, right? You like the presence of the Lord. So you like the presence of the Lord, and His presence comes down when you worship Him, alrighty? Now, remember the children of Israel, and they had to cross the River Jordan, and it's flood season. You know, it's flood season, it's rushing, it's crazy, and they can't get across. And the Lord says, have the priests, right? Have the priests walk into the river first, okay? So can you imagine walking in, and they're carrying this? And it's rushing, and He says, have the priests not only just walk into them, but then start worshiping. Start praising God. And you know what God did? How many read my stories before, the Bible stories? God dried up, and they just walked across, all right? So the priests come in, they worship and sing, God does things. So how about just suppose I got this going on in my life. I don't care if it's the red in your checkbook or it's this doctor's report and you've got this is just gushing all over you. How about you just walk in your priestly ministry? Just, God, I'm just going to worship You. Lord, I worship You and I'm trusting You're going to bring me through this. And you know God does what you just can't imagine He does. He does, all right? So, worship, because I'm telling you, in worship times, and I saw that, and I see this still in my life, when I get into that place, and it's scary out there, I can't breathe, I feel like I'm going to throw up, my brain is racing, everything about me is just going bananas, I come in and I just worship Him, and I've watched Him push that stuff out of my life to where I can breathe again. And breathing's good. Try that. You should breathe again, right? You should be nice. And when I breathe again, I'm actually a nicer person. Okay? Right? You'd be nice. All right. So worship. What happens? God does some great things. All righty now. Let me tell you another Bible story. This is Bible Story Sunday. Bible story here. The Philistines. Anybody hear about the Philistines? They are the bad guys. They wear the black hats, right? They're the enemy of Israel. Okay? So the bad guys, the Philistines, came and stole the ark. What is the ark? The ark represents, and it was, the presence of God being around you. They stole that. Okay? So they steal that and they take it back to the Philistines nation. Okay. And they worship gods, and the god that they worship there is the god Dagon. Dagon, he looked like a merman. I would have laughed. Okay? So they bring the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the being of God, they bring this, they've stole it, and they bring it into their temple, and they put it right next to their god, the Dagon. It's a statue, okay? And they go to bed that night, they wake up the next morning, and their statue's like, face down on the floor. And they're like, must have had an earthquake go on last night. Surely it was an earthquake. So they pick up their statue, go to bed, wake up the next day, and not only is the statue on the ground, but it's broken pieces, all right? So they're like, And then to top it off of that, God goes, and He just wreaks havoc in their nation. Like, they get hit with boils and sickness and just creepy crawly crud, okay, all over the nation. And they get really smart. 1 + 1 = 2. We got to get this thing out of here. We got to return this because this is powerful, OK? Okay, so they return the ark, and they probably go to the edge of the Israel, you know, Israel, and drop it right off the edge. There you go, guys. So they go return it, and David, who's the king, finds out, it's been returned. So David's like, we got to go get it, right? Come on, we got to go get the presence of God. His, you know, where God is, we got to go get that. So he goes and, now listen, he didn't ask the priests. And priest didn't really know, okay? So he goes and builds a brand new cart. Come on, let's build a new cart. We're gonna get the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. So they build this thing. Again, he didn't ask the priest. Nobody knew the word of God. They weren't following the directions, okay? So they put the Ark on the cart. I don't know if they had donkeys or camels, whatever was in the front of that. I don't know. Wasn't paying attention. And they start moving it because they're going to take it back to Jerusalem. Wouldn't you want the presence of God, right? So they start moving it, and they must have hit a bump or a rock, and the Ark of the Covenant starts to fall, and one of the guys runs up and just touches it, and bam, he's dead. Okay. That just ticks David off. God, what the? Come on, I'm bringing this back. And, you know, God, you know, I don't understand what happened, okay? So the reason the man died is God is holy, holy, all right? And only the priests were sanctified at that time that they could touch it. And they were told how to touch it too, right? By the what? Good, you paid attention, okay? So, hey, I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that you've been sanctified through the blood of Jesus? And if that thing were here today, I could go up and touch that because I have been sanctified, holy, blameless before the sight of God. You're all pretty good, right? Isn't that good? Okay, so back to the story. David is so mad. He's so mad. And this guy dies, and there's the Ark of the Covenant. And he looks over there, and he goes, oh, there's a townhouse over there. No, there's a house over there. And he goes, we're just going to leave it over at the house. And the house belonged to this guy. I tried pronouncing it 5 times, but I'm going to, Obadibamum. Okay, Ed. So the house belonged to Ed. Yeah. Just Ed. Obadedem, something like that. So they're going to take this Ark of the Covenant, because there's the nearest place is this house. It belongs to Ed, okay? And they take it, and they're like, and Ed was like, oh, no, 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 I just saw what happened. Nope, nope, nope. And the king says, yep, yep, yep. So they take it into Ed's house. Psh! All right. Now, if I were Ed, if you were Ed, with that caution tape, right, I'd wrap that whole thing up, you know, caution, caution, caution. And then I tell my kids, don't touch it. Whatever you do, don't touch it. And then everybody, and I would have said, hey, let's just put it in the back room that nobody goes to, and let's lock the door. Right? Because what happened for the person that touched it? What happened? Dead. Okay. So the ark is in Ed's house. Okay. And open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel. We have some scriptures besides Pastor D's Bible stories. Here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. Now, King David told everybody, the Lord, back up. Okay, yeah, so this is what happened in Ed's house. So you got to go, so where's the ark? It's in Ed's house. And this is what's happened, okay? So now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Ed and everything he has because the ark of God. So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Ed back to Jerusalem. Okay, so. I like that part. The Lord blessed Ed, his family, and everything in his house because what was there? The presence of God. Right? God, look what God did, all right? All right, so what's the archetype of? It's a type of worship. It's a type of God's presence comes down when we worship him, okay? So Just imagine you wake up in the morning now. This is present day. You wake up in the morning and you go, I'm going to hallel. I'm just going to say, God, I just love you. God, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for bringing me into the family of God. God, you're just so amazing. You are so cool. And then how about I do a little tehillah, okay? And I throw down some worship music, okay, because I'm not on the worship team per people and I need that. And I just start singing unto the Lord, maybe just a couple times a week. And I just start singing my praises to God and, whoa, God, and I'm not singing for you, okay, but you get the picture, all right? All right? Like we did today during worship, all righty? So, what does God do in Ed's house? He blesses the socks off of them. Right? Blesses Ed, his family, everything that has to do with his household. Everything that has to do with his household, okay? And so he blesses everything, and then David's like, oh, whoa, I thought this was going to be a bad thing. Oh my gosh, this turned out to be a good thing. I'm going to go get it now, okay? So he goes to get it. And this time, he asks the priests, they read their word, they follow the directions, okay, and he's going to bring this back to Jerusalem the right way, all righty? Now, why, come on, why would he get this? Why does he want this? I mean, it's pretty, okay, but why does he want the Ark of the Covenant? The presence of God comes into your city, your nation, and just blesses, all right? Yeah, I know what I'm doing, I'm getting it, right? All right, so he goes, gets it, all right. Verse 13. Here we go. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. Okay, we're going to get into details of that, but let me say this here. So the priests are carrying it the right way, and every six steps, they're going to sacrifice. That sounds so light, nice. They're going to kill a bull, and they're going to kill a fatted calf, a.k.a. veal, right? You like that? All right. So, but here's the thing. And I heard some preachers say this, so I kind of did a little digging on stuff like this. But here we have Ed's house, where the Ark of the Covenant is, and David's going to take it to Jerusalem. And it's roughly 10 miles from A to B, all right? Now, the average person, which means not these Cashman legs, but the average person, because I've tried to walk with them, the average person's, their stride, their steps, it would be 2,000 steps in 1 mile. So 2,000 steps, and they have to go 10 miles. So how many steps? And I've got to tell you, so if you don't do math, 20,000 steps from Ed's house to Jerusalem. Okay? Ed's house to Jerusalem, they're going to have 20,000 steps. Now listen to this. If you divide 6 into 20,000, okay, and you'd stop and kill a bull and kill a calf, it would be 3,333 steps. Stops. 3,333 stops. 3,333 times you're going to stop, kill a bull, kill a calf, worship the Lord. Woo! All right? Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Stop, kill a bull, kill the calf, worship the Lord. Woo! God, you're amazing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, you get it? All righty? Now, so they're killing, and they just don't kill and leave it there. They're putting it on the fire. Rachel, you got such a look like disgusting, Pastor D. Okay. So, but they light the, you know, they have the ignite the fire. So, have you ever walked by one of these steakhouses, in the evening? Oh my gosh, it smells so good, right? All right, unless you're fasting meat, okay? So it smells so good, all right? Now, so this is what's going on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Kill the bull, kill the calf, light the fire. Woo! Okay? But listen, they're doing this not as an offering for sin. Okay? They're doing this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, worship, as a sacrifice of worship. God, you're so wonderful. We have the Ark of the Covenant back. God, your presence is back. Woo! All right? That's why they're doing it, right? So, I was talking to Google. Google, how much does a bull cost today? $5,000. Google, how much does a fatted calf cost? $500. All right? So, do the math. I'm going to read this too because I. it would cost $16,600,000 for one bull. And $1,600,000 for one calf. Do the math, $18 million, just tons of money, okay? Tons of money to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Woo! All right? Worship you, God, I worship you, your presence, you're back into the house of Israel, okay? All right, so I want you to see it's really about passion.
You got to be passionate to do that, right?
Passion. God, I'm going to worship you. I'm passionate about who you are. You are in my life, your presence, and all that you are, and all the things that you represent. Whew, passion, all right? Yeah. So we're kind of like King David. He's doing that. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of work. Smells great, right? Okay, but verse 14. Let's read that one again. David is wearing verse 14. David's wearing a linen ephod. David is dancing before the Lord with all his might. All right, yeah. Let's talk about this ephod. Linen ephod, all right? Now, linen ephod is really important, but listen, he's the king. So what do kings wear? They got a royal crown on, probably jewels up there. They got royal clothes on, probably jewels and gems on there, okay? And it's a lot of bling. There's a lot of bling going on the royal robes, right? And then let's put on this cape, right? And it is bling city, bling, 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 okay? So everybody could recognize, listen, when David came walking out, you know who it was. Like, whoa, look at him. He's the king, right? Right? Okay. But here, David takes that off, takes off his crown, his robe, his kingly garments, okay? And what is he going to put on? A linen ephod. Okay, Pastor D, what's linen ephod? So glad. Linen ephods, the high priest did not wear. They were a little more blinged up, okay? But the regular Joes, the Levites that worked in the temple, this is what they wore. This is their work clothes. And everybody looked like they wore a bathrobe back then, okay? So a robe, but okay. But that doesn't compute in my head. This is their work clothes, all right? So every day, the Levites would work in the temple, and they'd be the ones that butchered the sacrifices. They're the ones that chopped the wood so we could have a sacrifice unto the Lord. They were the ones that cleaned up in the temple every day. This is what they wore. This is their work clothes every day, okay? And David is going to wear the everyday clothes of a Levite, of a Joe Schmo, just a priest, okay? Not the high priest. Okay, this is what he's doing. Okay, and what this tells you is, Pastor D's saying that it's a type of worship. Okay, it's a type of worship. Now, so I got to thinking, I said, Lord, how do I make this so we get it today? All right, so David's really saying, I am taking off my status, my king, my robe, that everybody's like, oh, David, king here. I'm going to take this off, and I'm just going to come as just everyday David, and I'm going to come in your presence. I'm going to worship you. Just, you know, nobody special. And the thing is, a lot of times today, people have trouble with this because of their status, okay? You know, sometimes people are the professionals or I'm a professional. I have this label, that plaque on the wall, okay? Or I own this business. I'm somebody special, okay? And because of that status, they don't. They can, but they don't come into worship because that status keeps them, and I get it, all right? You know, maybe you don't have status. Maybe it's like, well, I do this thing, and I'm on this committee, and I'm young, and I'm old, and whatever, you know? And it stops us from coming in and worshiping, all right? But listen, in order to have passionate worship, you have to pull that mask off and take that who do you think you are, off, and just say, God, it's me. Nobody special, it's me. I'm coming into worship. Amen. All right, so long, long time ago when I was really young, before I was married, I got saved. Oh, just glorious. Somebody told me who Jesus was and how much he loved him. I asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life, and I started going to a church, and they had some pretty cool worship, okay? So I'd come with my girlfriends, okay? And we came in. We didn't wear our t-shirts and our pajama bottoms, girls, okay? You know, guys are looking at, yeah, you wear your cool jeans and sneakers, okay? But we came in, we'd come to church, okay, looking, you know, ready? And the thing is, I'd sing. I'm scoping the guys. I'm looking at who's the cutie on the worship team, okay? And I'm singing, all right? Nobody taught me worship, okay? I didn't know any of that, okay? But that's what I was doing, and don't judge me, okay? Okay, so I'm looking around, I'm looking at that, and again, I didn't know anything about passionate worship, okay? And then later on, by the way, I was single then, and later on I meet Jack, like a month later. He's the cutest guy, such a man. Anyway, so Jack and I were dating, and his good friend Don is one of the guys that plays the guitar. He was kind of cute, and he invites us over to his house with a whole bunch of young people. We're all in our 20s. That's a long time ago. We're all in our 20s, and so we're all just hanging out, and we're eating chips or whatever like that. And then Don grabs his guitar, and he says, "How about we worship the Lord?" And I was like, "Well, I got the cute guy. That'll be good." Okay. So he says, "But before we worship, I want you all to close your eyes." And there's maybe about 12 of us there. Close your eyes. I'm like, okay, Don. I like Don. So, okay, I'll follow the directions. So he says, close your eyes, and I want you to imagine walking into the throne of God. And I was like, well, I love Jesus, and I know Don, so I'm going to do this. And he says, and he said it like 5 times. Just, I want you to imagine you're walking into the throne of God. Now, just stop right there. You're in the throne room of God. You're in the throne room of God. You're in the presence of God. And he says, now. And then Don starts this. He says, now let's worship. That was the first time I ever passionately worshiped in my life. And I've been trying to do it ever since, okay? But listen, when that happened, I was like, whoa. And it wasn't like I got knocked on the ground or I had goosebumps or anything. But listen to this. It was almost like time stood still. Because normally in worship at church, I'm looking at the clock. Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, the worship team's going so long. I am so hungry. And now, are you kidding me? The pastor's going to get up and talk for an hour? That's normally what I was doing at worship. But this time, time stood still, and I worshiped for the first time, and I understood passionate worship. Praise God. So, and I worshiped like, Lord Jesus, I'm before you, and I am so thankful that you rescued me, that I am the redeemed by your blood. And Lord, I just so thank you that I'm now your child. I am holy and blameless. Lord, I just, you're amazing. I love you. I love you. I love you. Changed my life. First time, passionately worship, and I'm still working on it, all right? So some of you, this earthly status, I'm so cool and I'm, you know, looking at this. That's not you, okay? But this is where I'll get ready, pull your toes in, ready? You're more concerned about what people will think, and I get it. Like, someone will see me. So I came out of a church back room. We didn't raise hands. They didn't even clap. Okay, but so I thought I was being, you know, why was someone saw? Somebody saw me do this. So I put him down, cause I'm so concerned. Now you're laughing. I'm making funny of this, but I watch y'all. I watch you when you worship. Okay, come on. Okay, are you so concerned what someone's gonna think? Jeez, Louise. Okay. So this is my suggestion. Just leave that at the altar. Just, who gives a flip, right? I don't care what you think. I have been invited. I have access into the presence of the Lord, and he's my Lord and my Savior, and I'm going to worship you. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to skip that part. Let me think, I guess I'm looking at the clock. All right. Verse 14, David was dancing before the Lord, okay? David was dancing before the Lord. That used to bug me. I can't dance. Where's little Eli? Eli, do you know when the clap goes? Oh, yeah, Pastor D. I can't dance and I can't clap. I got 2 left feet. It's super awkward. So I'd read this, and we used to sing a song. Okay, I'm going to close my eyes. How's it going? When the Spirit of the Lord comes, that has him go, I will dance like David danced. I will dance like David. Okay, that song, and it has a whole bunch of verses, and it doesn't sound like the way I sang it, because you know I'm not on the worship team, right? Okay, Do you remember that list? Yeah, we're not singing it either because we're not on the worship team. I don't want to hear me sing. So they would sing that song, and I'll dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I'll dance. That used to bug me because I can't dance. Okay, so we start this worship thing, and I'm in the presence of the Lord, and then they sing that verse, and I'm like, it was all over with. All right, so that really bugged me, but I decided I'd do a little research in the scriptures. You know, if things bug you in the Bible, go dig into the Word of God. And I found out David did dance, but back then, Israel would, the whole nation knew the dance. Their culture was like a folk dance. And so they had this culture of a worship dance. And it wasn't this, you know, sexy, goopy, doopy stuff I see sometimes. I'm like, what are you kidding me? Put a bag on him. Okay. Again, this was the culture. They knew this. This was everybody, like everybody did. So the best I can compare it, which is such a lousy way, but you'll get it. You ever get invited to a wedding and they do a line dance? I don't know what they call it now, right? Is they still call it line dance? Okay. Everybody stop. Turn. Everybody. Okay. I don't do that because I am not. I watch you all, okay? Okay, I'm laughing myself. Okay, so, but, okay. Who turned the fan off? What? Scott, next time you leave it on because I'm already hot. Okay. All right, so that's kind of, so line dancing at a wedding's kind of culturally okay. You do that, all right? All I'm going to say about dance, I'm going to say five more things, okay? David's culture, there was this. Really, guys, it's not really the culture in the present day church culture. I know some of you are going to fight me and say, oh, Pastor Naomi, are you kidding me? But just, okay. Anyway, I better go to the next verse, okay? Yeah, okay. So I just don't want you to emphasize dance or don't dance. Just don't get stuck on that, okay? But I'm not dancing. But this is the best I do. But, you know, I'm so young, I can only do this for like a minute. Time me. Okay. Okay. Verse 16. Whew. As the ark of the Lord was entered the city of David, Micah, that's the daughter of Saul, which is David's wife. Michal, excuse me, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. I wanted to think, why aren't you down there? Anyway, side talk. She watched from a window when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She despised him. What? In her heart, okay? She did not like to see him passionately worshiping the Lord. She despised him. Woman, you need to come to my office. We need to talk to you. That's not nice, right? Okay, next part. Jump down to verse 20, okay? Verse 20. When David returned home, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. Oh, it was no hugs and kisses going on there. And said, how? The king of Israel has disgraced himself today? No kisses going on, right? Going around half naked. He was not half naked. She's a liar, liar, liar. He's wearing what? The linen ephod. And by the way, it didn't go up to your behiny and your whitey tighties were shown. It was down there. Okay? Oh, no. Okay. So she lied there. Going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as a vulgar fellow would. Okay. So she's come up like, David, I can't believe you did that. It just looks so vulgar doing that, so disrespectful. Okay, girl's got an attitude here going on. But really, you know, he's like, I am the king, but I am laying that down, and I am going to worship the Lord my God, because we have the Ark of the Covenant. We have his presence, and he is just so good. All right. All righty. We're just going to close. I think you get it, all right? Worship will change your life. When you worship God, it doesn't have, now Sunday morning, I thought I'd scrape you all off and pack you all home, okay? But you can do this at home, okay? And sometimes I am just declaring all the good things. Yeah, you have to set time. Well, I'll do it this morning. Oh, no, did you see the dirty dish? Tomorrow. Oh, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Set time, okay? And we talked about last week, go sit in your work parking lot, okay? And just set time and just say, you know, come in the presence. Lord, I'm coming into your presence, and I'm going to worship you. And start by just declaring, God, I thank you for so great a salvation. I thank you, God, that you saw me when I was just bad, and you love me, and Jesus, you died for me, and you washed me, and I'm now holy and blameless. And I thank you. So good, God, so good that this was your plan, and you never gave up on this plan. Okay, and then you can go into some singing, all right, and just sing it unto the Lord. Just be passionate. And I'm telling you guys, it releases the presence of God. Sometimes you might just do it by faith, but it will release the presence of God upon you, and you may feel his peace, you may feel joy, you may feel strength, like, okay, this is, oh, wow. And it just releases God to do what only God can do. And what would happen if in those presence times, in those times of passionate worship, in that time where you're just loving him for how great he is, as he starts mapping out some plans he has for your life. Okay? And I know he has good plans and hope in the future and all that stuff, but I want to hear that. And that'll happen in the presence of God. So every eye closed, heads bowed, whatever, I got them maxed up, you know that, okay? Father, we come to you and just so thankful. Thank you for the Ark of the Covenant, Lord, but really, thank you for your presence. And Father, thank you for there's people here, Father, they're passionate worshipers already, Lord, but I thank you that you help us go even higher and deeper into this presence time with you, so you can do what only you can do, that you can speak to us, that you can strengthen us, that you just do what only you can do. And Lord, forgive us if we've been a little snooty thinking we were something and we're not. Forgive me for just thinking about what everybody else is going to think about. And Lord, from this day forth, I just lay it down, and I don't care. I need you more than anything else. And I love to come into your presence, and I love to worship you. So I thank you, Father, for your word today, your encouragement, your love, your direction, for eyes that have seen and ears that have heard, Father, how much you love and what you want to do in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had fun telling stories, but I love you so much, and I just love you. Share it, Pastor Jerry, we love you so much, and we just want you to have all the ollie. Ollie, ollie, all, okay? So stand up. Father, I thank you for everyone in this place. I thank you, Father, that they are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath. They are blessed going in, and the blessing resides in them, in everything that they touch, and wherever they go, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you'd like to have some prayer agreement, well, we've got people coming up here, all right? And if you just want to come up here and just worship, you go for it. It was so good. So good. We love you.